So at this part of the chapter, Maharaj Bharat is giving up his kingdom. And Prabhupada was very fond of using this example of Bharat Maharaj as an example of renunciation. Because he had opulence, which is inconceivable to us today. He was the emperor of the whole world. Prabhupada describes he had a very beautiful wife, very affectionate children, very loyal kingdom. The whole earth to this day is called, well, it used to be called Bharatvarsha. Today India is called Bharatvarsha. It used to be the whole planet was called Bharatvarsha in honor of this great king, Bharat Maharaj. He had everything conceivable for material sense gratification. But at a very young age, he gave it all up. Not when he grew old and was unable to enjoy it any longer. At a very young age. Because he was trained by his father, Lord Rishabhdev, not only in the principles of ruling the kingdom as an ideal devotee king, but also in the principles of renunciation. Lord Rishabhdev instructed all his sons, of whom Bharat was the foremost, that, my dear sons, do not engage in activities of sense gratification which are available even to dogs and hogs that eat stool. In the human form of life, one should engage in penance and austerity to attain that divine position, devotional service. That position only will give complete satisfaction to the self and eternal spiritual joy. And he went on to describe the basis of material attachment, how it begins and how it expands. Prabhupada very much liked this verse. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. That's how it starts. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes increasingly attached to his own personal body, home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, and the rest. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So woman is called Stri, one who expands. They expand material desire. So, as an example of perfect devotee, Bharat Maharaj, as soon as his function was completed, as soon as he had a replacement to rule the earth, he renounced all this and went to the mountains to cultivate his real attachment, his attachment for Krishna. So, of course, we're at this time not able, nor are we recommended, to follow such renunciation as Bharat Maharaj, going to the forest, eating simple roots, fruits, and vegetables found in the forest, because Lord Chaitanya's movement, Srila Prabhupada's movement, Srila Bhaktipada's movement is a preaching movement. The devotee is not concerned with his own happiness. He's concerned with the happiness of every living entity. Why should all the other living entities have to go on suffering, growing old, becoming diseased, and dying while we are experiencing spiritual joy? That is not the attitude of a Vaishnava. And Bhaktisiddhanta would always condemn those Radhakund Babajis and those devotees who have become frustrated with management, want to go off to a secluded place and chant. He condemned this. He said, they may make some show or little advancement, but inevitably they all fall down. They're trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. To get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to follow his instructions. To get his mercy, you have to please him. And how do you please him? By Harinam Sankirtan. This is the life of all transcendental knowledge. This increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to taste that nectar for which we're always hankering. The soul is always hankering for pleasure. This is the eternal symptom of the soul. But pleasure cannot be found in the material world, which is simply a perverted, a dull, distorted reflection of the eternal, spiritual, blissful world. Vaikuntha, free of anxiety, eternally. So, just to encourage everyone in their devotion and their renunciation, just as Srila Bhaktipada is always traveling and encouraging all the devotees in their devotional service and consequent renunciation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Of course, since time immemorial, we've had the scriptures which all point in the direction of renunciation, ultimately. But the conditioned souls are so blinded by their conditioning, by the clouds of Maya, that they are not inclined to readily accept renunciation. Conditioned soul means he's addicted to sense gratification. He's attached to it. He thinks this is the source of his happiness, and he's not inclined to give it up. Although all the bona fide scriptures of the world claim that you have to. So, since the conditioned souls are so reluctant and so stupid, the Lord has to come himself or send his perfect, pure representative to demonstrate by example. Just as the teacher has to take the student's hand and write ABC. Not that the teacher is learning to write his ABCs, but he has to personally instruct the student how to write. So similarly, the Lord has to come from time to time, and he's always sending his representatives to teach by example and to encourage us in our devotional service and renunciation. Lord Chaitanya has come for this purpose. In the 100 slokas composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you can conclude it all very summarized and very easily in one verse, that Lord Chaitanya has come to give causeless knowledge and consequent detachment from all that is material and averse to devotional service. And just to encourage, even before he was manifesting his symptoms as devotee or as the Lord, Lord Chaitanya in his early days as Pandit would go out in the afternoon after teaching his students just to encourage all the residents of Nadia in their devotional service and their renunciation. He would go to all the merchants. He would go to the cloth merchant. And he would tell them, let me see your best cloth. Give me the best of everything you have. And they would be enamored by his beauty and his influence. They would give him their best cloth. He said, I don't have any money. And they'd say, that's all right. You can take it. He would go to the florist. Let me see your best garlands. They'd give him out their best garlands and place them on the Lord. But I don't have any money. But that's all right. You can take it. He would go to, in this way he would visit all the merchants and encourage them to give the best that they had to him because he was a perfect Brahmin. And in those days everyone knew that by giving to a Brahmin, you're giving to Vishnu. Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, is very compassionate. He agrees to descend to the material world just to accept our service. And when he does not come personally, he does so as the Brahmana. Of course, perfect Brahmana is Vaishnava, which is more rare. In this way, he would go to all the merchants. He would go to the betel merchant. Tell him, give me your best betel. And he would give. Say, I don't have any money. But that's all right. You're a Brahmin. I must give to you. Because by giving to you, I'm giving to Vishnu. He would go to the astrologer. Say, tell me who I was in my previous birth. The astrologer was a great devotee of Gopal, Lord Krishna. He would meditate. He would chant his Gopal mantra and meditate. In his meditation, he would see this Brahmin, Nimai Pandit, as he wanted to see him in who he was in this future birth. He was a very famous astrologer. He knew past, present, and future. So Lord Chaitanya told him, tell me, who was I in my former birth? He began his meditation. All of a sudden, sees this beautiful bluish form with four arms holding conch shell, club, disc, lotus flower. What is this? He saw that that beautiful form of the Lord was in the prison cell of Kamsa with his parents before him, offering prayers in adoration. Suddenly, that Vishnu form took the form of a beautiful baby of the same bluish complexion. Then that astrologer saw Vasudev carrying this baby through the raging storm across the Jamuna to Gokula, to the place of Nanda Maharaj, and exchanging him for Subhadra. Then he saw that child at his in his fresh youth wearing a bell of around his waist, tiny bells. He was eating butter. And then he saw the Lord's Leela progress as Shyamasundar holding the flute, listening to the songs of the gopis. He saw, what is this? He saw his own deity, Gopal. But he was, who is this Brahman? He opened his eyes, saw the effulgent form of Gaurasundar before him. What kind of a trick is this? Is some demigod come in this form to humiliate me, to make me humble because I'm so proud, thinking I know everything, past, present, future? He again closed his eyes, saw another personality of greenish complexion, holding a bow in his hands, seated in the attitude of a warrior. And then he saw Vamana, the dwarf Brahmana, going to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj to frustrate his material activities. Then he saw Matsya, the fish incarnation, swimming on the waters of devastation, rescuing the Vedas. And then he saw Vraha in the depths of the universe, holding the earth on his tusks. And then he saw Nrisimha, extremely fierce, yet infinitely tender, with Prahlad. Then he saw Jagannath with Balaram and Subhadra. And he was thinking, who is this personality? Why am I seeing all the incarnations when I'm trying to understand who this Brahman was in his former birth? He opened his eyes and told Lord Chaitanya, you better come back later when I figure it out. In this way, everyone was enamored by his beauty, but they were covered with yoga maya. They could not make the connection, although he was at this time giving hints about his real identity. And then he went to visit his most beloved merchant, Sridhar, the banana leaf merchant. He was so poor, his occupation was selling banana leaves. Banana trees grow everywhere in Navadvip. So he took the leaves and made plates and cups and sold them, made a few cents every day, which he would spend half to worship Mother Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya would come to Sridhar, and he would ask for some boga to take home to Mother Sachi. And he would give him some bananas or some vegetables and say, what is the price? Sridhar was famous everywhere for being as honest as Yudhisthira. He would tell him the price, so many little conch shells. Lord Chaitanya would, what? So much? Why are you cheating the poor brahmanas? What? What do you mean? I'm not cheating. That's a standard price to ask anybody. No, that's too much. He'd take the boga and walk away without giving any money. And he'd treat her. But if you steal from me every day, how will I worship Ganges? Lord Chaitanya would turn around. Don't you know? I am the source of the Ganges. What? Vishnu, 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 he'd close his ears. You're so arrogant, Nimai Pandit. Aren't you even afraid of committing offense to Vishnu? Nimai Pandit replied, Sridhar, who do you think I am? You're a Brahmin, part and parcel of Vishnu. No, I'm just a cowherd boy. What? And then, why? Sridhar was a very gentle man, elderly. And Nimai Pandit was the most arrogant personality at that time. Because whatever the Lord does, he supersedes everyone. Whether he fights with weapons, he can conquer all warriors. When he manifests his beauty, he conquers millions and millions of Cupids. When he manifests arrogance, no one can be so arrogant. And when he manifests renunciation, you'll not find such renunciation anywhere in the 14 worlds. So he was very arrogant. He would tease him. Sridhar was asking, why are you harassing me? Why do you pick on me? You don't pick on anybody else like this. And he would tell him, because you have the greatest treasure. What? I'm so poor. My house doesn't even have a roof on it. Said, no, this is just a front. I know very well. You wear this torn cloth, and you appear to be very poor, but I know you have a treasure in your house. Where is it? You go in and look through the house. What are you doing? I know you have a great treasure here. Said, I'll leave you alone today, but later I'm going to exploit your treasure, and I'm going to expose you to everyone. What is he talking about? Then he would leave. Go back to Sachi's house. So during the Mahaprakash, he revealed the treasure to everyone. While he was calling for all the great devotees, Advaitacharya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Haridas Thakur, all the great devotees were coming and receiving their benedictions, he sent for Sridhar. The devotees went and got him. They told him, the Lord wants you. What? The Lord wants me? He fainted. They had to carry him to Srivasangam. Lord Chaitanya, get up! Come here! Sridhar came to consciousness and looked. He saw this young Brahmin Pandit, he knew as Nimai, manifesting the glories and opulence of the Supreme Lord, sitting on the Simhasan, on the altar of Srivas Pandit, manifesting his Vaikuntha form. On the ground, all around, were all the great sages from all the different planetary systems come to offer their prayers and worship to the Lord. All the demigods, Brahma, Shiva, they were all there, waving chamras. Nityananda, holding the umbrella over his head. Gadadhar, offering a betel. Anantashesh, appearing over his head with his thousands of hoods as a canopy. He saw the Lord in all his divine glory. And then he realized that this Nimai Pandit, he is the Lord. He turned to one side. Elephants, swans, bulls, the carriers of the demigods. The sky was filled with demigods offering prayers. On all sides, in all directions, on the bare earth, lying prostrate, were all the great demigods and all the great sages offering their prayers and worship to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, come, Sridhar, I want to hear your prayers. But I'm just an illiterate fool. What do I know about offering prayers to you? He said, that's all right. Your ordinary talks are more pleasing than the prayers of the demigods. So come. And at that instant, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, appeared on his tongue, and he began offering beautiful prayers and glory of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm so pleased because I've accepted your offerings. The best part of Lord Chaitanya's meal was that gourd that grew on the thatched hut of his most intimate devotee, Sridhar. Since I have accepted your food, I want to give you some benediction. What do you want? I don't want anything. Simply seeing you, all my desires are fulfilled. No, you must ask some benediction. No, I've already received everything I ever wanted. No, one in benediction you must. I can give you the eightfold mystic perfections. Immediately, perfection of all the eightfold mystic yoga process. Immediately I can give. I can give you wealth, opulence. I can make you the king of many maharajas, faithful followers, kingdom, wealth, opulence, beyond your imagination. No, I don't want that. Well, what do you want? Sridhar replied, that if I must ask something from you, then I simply humbly request that wherever I may take my birth, that you will continue to come to me in that form of the beautiful, young, arrogant, mischievous Brahmin pundit and tease me and harass me birth after birth after birth. This is all I want, nothing else. And everyone present was overwhelmed by the greatest exhibition of devotion by this very poor merchant, Sridhar. And the Lord blessed him that wherever and whenever you take birth, I will have to come to you every day to enjoy pastimes with you, because I am conquered by your love. I am your servant, he told Sridhar, birth after birth. So in this way, the Lord was going to all the merchants, encouraging them, not in their material activities, but to give the best of their results in the service of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, just abandon all varieties of religiousness and surrender unto me. The Lord wants our surrender. I will protect you from all sinful actions. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. Do not be afraid of giving up your sense gratification. It's so insignificant compared to the eternal, blissful life of rendering dynamic devotional service to the Supreme Lord. What do we have to give up? Simply our false proprietorship. We're not the possessors of anything. Krishna possesses everything, yet he comes to teach by example. And he guarantees, I will protect you. Do not fear. Do not hesitate. Do not worry. I will give you all protection. At the house of Srivas Thakur, when the Sankirtan was going on, there was so much harassment because the atheists were burning in envy. They couldn't sleep at night because at the house of Srivas Thakur, the Lord's ecstasy, when he came back from Gaya, his ecstasy reached such bounds, it appeared to be madness, just like in this verse. Maharaj Bharat is becoming very ecstatic in his renunciation. This is not dry renunciation. He's becoming ecstatic, his hair standing on his head, crying so much he couldn't see where he was going. Astvasatuka, emotions. When Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya, he manifested what they considered to be nervous disorder. Some mental disorder, they were thinking. But then the Srivas came and he realized, this is not mental disorder, this is Mahabhava, the astvika satvika emotions of divine ecstasy. He's concealing as nervous disorder so that the atheists wouldn't commit offense of misunderstanding. So when he came down from his ecstasy, which they considered to be some nervous disorder, the Lord asked Srivas Pandit, so what do you think of my wind disorder? He said, it's a very good wind. I wish everyone could be affected by this disease. He knew it was love of God. So he said, you just come to my courtyard at night. We'll have kirtan there, and we'll lock out all the atheists. So they'd have kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur. Only the most intimate devotees were allowed in, because the Lord's ecstasy was so inconceivable. You can't judge a devotee because he's on the absolute platform. His activities seem inconceivable, absolute. You can't judge by material calculations. He's on the plane of complete freedom and liberation. How can we judge the activities of a devotee? Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy, would he be dancing? He'd come crashing down to the ground as if an earthquake had hit. They thought the earth would split. He'd be so heavy, more heavy than the earth. The next moment, he'd be floating in the air, lighter than a feather. One instant, he'd be In his ecstasy, he would be so cold like ice, his teeth chattering. Next instant, he'd be so hot, he put sandalwood on his forehead, it is immediately dry. So they had to lock out all the atheists. They'd never be able to appreciate. And they were just burning in envy, because nobody could sleep in Nadia. Lord Chaitanya in his ecstasy would be roaring like 10 million lions. The roar of the kirtan sounded like it would crack the outer coverings of the universe. So nobody in Nadia got any sleep at that time. The atheists were just burning in envy. They were speculating, what are they doing? What are they, drinking? They must be intoxicated. And they were speculating. They went to the king, and they told the Muslim king, you got to break this up. It's ruining the land. So a rumor came back that the king is sending two boatloads of soldiers to arrest Srivas and his brothers and this Nimai Pandit. So during the kirtan that night, Lord Chaitanya noticed the devotees were a little nervous. So what is the difficulty? And he got word that the Mohammedan king was sending his soldiers to arrest them. Lord Chaitanya said, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. Now we know the Muslims at that time, there was no atrocity that was not readily performed by the Mohammedan king. So the devotees, they were naturally a little apprehensive. So Lord Chaitanya went out, and he went down to the bank of the Ganges to see if the boats were coming. When the atheists were there waiting for the arrest, and they saw the Lord strolling like a mad lion, they felt a little apprehended, and they all ran away. Then Lord Chaitanya went back to Srivas's house. He said, get all your family members and bring them here. I want to tell them something. So he got Malini, his wife, the children, and friends and maidservants. They all came into Srivas's courtyard. He said, so you're afraid of the Muslims? Don't you know I am the super soul residing in the heart of every living entity? If I do not direct him to come here, he cannot come. I choose who comes through the Sankirtan movement. And even if he tries to evade me and act independently, even if he sends his Muslim soldiers, what can they do? I'll be the first to step on the boat, and I will go to his kingdom. And when I walk into his courtyard, we'll see what kind of Muslim king sits on his throne in my presence. And if he tries to evade me again and act independently, then I'll really show him. I'll tell him, look, king, you go get all your elephants, and get all your horses, and get all your men, your ministers, your qazis, your priests, and have them recite the Quran, and see if you can make everyone cry in ecstatic love of Krishna, if your Mohammedan religion is so supreme. And if that doesn't work, which it never will, then I will go out, and I will capture a wild elephant, along with many other elephants and horses, and deer, and animals, and I will bring them to the courtyard of the king, and we'll have a kirtan. And we'll see all those wild elephants, and horses, and deer, and animals, as well as all the Muslims, and the qazis, and the ministers, and the Mohammedan priests, and the Mohammedan king, we'll see them crying in ecstasy. In this way, we'll show him what is the true eternal religious principle, Harinam Sankirtan. So you have nothing to fear if you surrender your life to the Lord's service. He guarantees he'll give all protection. So he didn't want to wait for the Muslim king. He wanted to give his mercy right then and there. So he picked out a perfect recipient, a four-year-old girl, the daughter of Srivas's brother. Her name was Narayani. And because of this pastime, that four-year-old girl, Narayani, is famous throughout the 14 worlds to this very day. He told her, Narayani, chant Krishna's name. Immediately upon receiving this instruction, Narayani began crying. Such a cascade of tears drenched her, made a big puddle on the ground, and she just choked up in divine ecstasy. This four-year-old girl cried out, Oh Krishna, Oh Krishna! And because of that special mercy, she was enabled to become the mother of the incarnation of Vyasadeva in this age, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavata. So we see that with the instruction comes the ability. Just as Maharaj Bharat is becoming renounced to advance in devotional service, so Srila Bhaktipada is telling everyone, become renounced. By no material ability or no material calculation can we fulfill his desire of building the greatest temple on earth to attract all the living entities to the lotus feet of Krishna. We must attract the higher powers by following their instruction and pleasing them by giving up our independent motives, our self-interest, our sense gratification, and become fully immersed in the Sankirtan movement. This is the only eternal substance in reality. Everything else is simply temporary. And that same mercy, that same ecstasy which was being achieved at the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can still be achieved to us today if we simply place ourselves in the fire of devotional service. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes, Adyapi hoi lila kore gorarai kono kono bhagyavan deki bari pai, that the past, those who are extremely fortunate can see the pastimes of the Lord going on even today. Otherwise, how could it be that Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and Srila Bhaktipada is so successfully continuing the same movement? By the testimony of Sri Chaitanya himself, this is not possible except by one who has achieved the special mercy in favor of the Lord and is empowered in that way. So we should be very confident that if we simply follow his instructions and take shelter of his lotus feet, that we can very easily give up this mundane attachment for sense gratification and achieve a much higher taste. That taste of love of God. Kaviraj Goswami explains that renunciation is the basic principle supporting the lives of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is the use of this temporal wealth, health, family, position, prestige? It'll all be gone in no time anyway. Why continue the attachment? Anything that can be used in Krishna's service should be readily accepted, and anything that keeps us from that highest ecstasy should be immediately given up. In this way, we can invoke the mercy of Srila Bhaktipada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and attain to that highest stage of ecstasy, pure love of God, life's ultimate goal. Are there any questions? Yes, that's why Sri Chaitanya was going to all the merchants. He didn't tell them, you give up your occupation. He simply encouraged, you give the best of everything you have to the Brahmin. Of course, better is to give the devotee. But he was encouraging him that way. He didn't even tell the betel merchant. Betel is intoxication. He didn't tell him, give up your occupation. He said, engage it in the service of the Lord. He encouraged him in that way. So we don't say, give up anything. Everything has its place in the eternal plan of the Lord. The material world is a reflection of the eternal spiritual world. You can't do away with a reflection. Because the reality is there, the reflection is there. You can't do away with it. You simply have to use it properly. And in that way, it becomes spiritual. We don't say, Prabhupada never said, do away with anything. He said, use it properly. Any other questions? I don't know if he had a successor or not. That's not actually an important point. Well, One who is on the pure absolute platform doesn't necessarily consider a successor. Because if one renounces, you know, like the example is Sridhar Swami. If one is actually on the pure platform, he doesn't worry about someone to take his place. If one is actually fully surrendered, engaged in the Lord's service, if he has some higher principle, some higher purpose, some higher cause, then Krishna will take care. Not that we can be irresponsible and say you can walk out on some responsibility, but if one is actually on the absolute platform and he has some higher service to do, you can't criticize him for renouncing. Because on that platform, Krishna carries what he lacks. There's no impediments to pure devotional service. Prabhupada authorized one translation by Dr. Sanyal, and now GBC has authorized Sarvabhavana to translate. Not finished yet. Prabhupada had the choice of translating Chaitanya Bhagavata or Chaitanya Charitamrita. He picked Chaitanya Charitamrita because it gives the philosophy. Chaitanya Bhagavata simply gives pastimes. But in those pastimes, Lord Chaitanya is personally demonstrating his philosophy. You have to have person Bhagavat along with book Bhagavat. Book Bhagavat is not enough. The concrete conclusion of the Brahma Sutras is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the ABCs of spiritual life is the Bhagavad Gita. And the postgraduate of spiritual life is, the postgraduate of all scriptures is Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the life and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the personal, practical demonstration of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra, and Srimad Bhagavatam all combined in living form. So you have to have pastimes along with philosophy to acquire the taste. Srila Bhakti Pada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.